This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Bad news on the home front.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Jeremy Hobson with The Morning Open, a look at business and the economy as Wall Street starts the day. Coming up, home prices are still falling. What is the solution to the ongoing problems in the housing market? But first, where's Wall Street? Stocks are lower this morning. The Dow down 13 points at 12,184. The NASDAQ down about 0.1%. And the S&P 500 down about 0.25%. Spice maker McCormick says sales jumped 2% last quarter. That was all thanks to consumers kicking their cooking up a notch in the U.S. and Asia. Europe and the Middle East apparently only wanted a pinch of spice. They saw a 10% drop in sales. Now let's get to this morning's news about home prices. We just got the S&P Case-Shiller Index, which found average prices at their lowest level in 11 years. Prices dropped in all of the 20 cities in the survey except Washington, D.C. Let's bring in Julie Neiman, analyst at Smith Moore & Company. She's with us live from St. Louis, as she is every Tuesday. Good morning, Julie.
Morning, Jeremy.
So what do you make of these bad numbers this morning from Case-Shiller?
Of course, we keep in mind all housing data is seen in the rearview mirror, but still, this was unrelentingly horrible, and it's a huge drag on the economy. Now, the optimists were discounting the news, saying it's seasonal factors, bad weather, but bottom line, this is the sixth straight month we've seen sales and prices go down. Even new home sales are down 28% year over year. We're slumping our way into a double-dip housing recession here, and it's getting worse. There's no momentum for a turnaround. Inventory is still very high. Lenders still have big inventory of houses in various stages of foreclosure, and they haven't even put it on the market yet. And if you want a sense of impending doom, one in five homeowners have negative equity. And potential buyers out there, well, if prices are going lower, do you really want to jump in yet?
Julie, quickly, I mean, is there any solution to all of this problem in the housing market?
Well, their creative solutions by bankers have to come around right now. It's a little oxymoronic, but your choices are one, bulldoze and write off the assets, and they really don't want to do that, or rent, form a new real estate division. Renting, population is still growing. You've got rental shortage due to apartments being condominiumized, and you want to get the adult kids out of the basement and into their own places.
Julie Neiman, analyst at Smith Moore & Company, thanks as always.
You bet.
Now to our ongoing coverage of the economics of unrest in North Africa. President Obama said in his Libya speech last night that the cost of the allied efforts there will be shared. Well, this morning, representatives from more than 30 countries are meeting in London to discuss the situation in Libya. Marketplace's Stephen Beard reports.
The summit is aimed at strengthening the coalition and planning for Libya after the conflict ends. The coalition wants to make sure the country doesn't slide into the same chaos as Iraq after the fall of Saddam Hussein. The huge cost of rebuilding Libya is not far from everyone's mind, and the question, who picks up the tab? The country has one of the biggest oil and gas reserves in Africa, so it can surely pay for its own reconstruction. We've heard that one before, says George Joffe of Cambridge University.
We heard the same story in the case of Iraq. And therefore, I fear that European states and even the United States, despite themselves, may find they're forced into a very costly undertaking.
The US and Europe insist they will not get dragged into an expensive exercise in Libya. But, says Joffe, there is a danger that process is already underway. In London, I'm Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by LendingTree, providing up to four loan offers from a network of lenders. Learn more at LendingTree.com or 1-800-555-8733. By Mini, with 37 miles per gallon and 3 years or 36,000 miles of boot-to-bonnet maintenance. MiniUSA.com/info. and by Thomson Reuters, committed to empowering professionals of the world with the knowledge needed to do what they do best, The Knowledge Effect.
Tangled, that's what we call Rapunzel now, comes out on DVD today. And Rapunzel is the latest to join the Disney Princesses, which translates roughly to a big money brand for Disney.
Welcome to the wonderful world of Disney Princess, where happily ever after happens every day.
That brand is the subject of a new book called Cinderella Ate My Daughter. The author is Peggy Orenstein, who joins us now. Good morning.
Good morning.
So first of all, when I was growing up, Disney Princesses didn't even exist. Now it's apparently a $4 billion business. How did that happen?
It was one guy's idea. His name is Andy Mooney, and he went to an ice show in Philadelphia, and he saw a bunch of little girls dressed as princesses, and horrors, they were wearing homemade costumes that they had developed with their imaginations. That had to be stopped. That had to be licensed. And the first year that they put them out there, it was $300 million. And by 2009, yeah, we've hit a $4 billion a year business.
And does Disney have a lot of competitors here in trying to corner the princess market?
So they started this market, and then everybody else thought, woo, pink is the new gold, and they jumped on board. So now whether you're looking at like the guy who's selling a T-shirt on Etsy that's pink with a crown on it and says, give me the credit card and nobody gets hurt, or Mattel or McDonald's, or, you know, basically anything that can be pink and a crown slapped on it has been turned pink and a crown slapped on it.
All right. Now, when you think about all of the characters that little girls look up to and want to be like, I would think princesses would be like the least bad. But as you write, that's really not the case.
What happens with the princess culture is that it goes from being this sort of sweet, innocent, wand-waving thing to being about being the princess diva and the makeup, and the culture is telling them and encouraging them to define themselves from the outside in.
What would you say to parents who are listening to this and wondering whether they should be buying their daughters the Ariel and Belle gear that they see all over the TV and in the stores?
You can't keep the commercial ideas about femininity and the sexualization of girlhood out entirely. So your job is not to lock your daughter in a tower. Your job is to, when she's little, limit the choices. And that lays the groundwork so that as she grows older, you can really help her navigate through all of this to a true happily ever after.
Peggy Orenstein, author of Cinderella Ate My Daughter. Thanks so much for your time this morning.
Thank you for having me.
By the way, the latest Disney princess film, Tangled, was the second most expensive movie ever made with a budget of $260 million. It's made Disney almost $600 million so far. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
I'm sure you grew up being told to resist peer pressure, but it's not always a bad thing.
They try and get people to change their behavior, not by appealing to fear, but by giving them a new peer group to identify with.
I'm Kai Rizdal. Call it social pressure instead. See if that's better. The story next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.